entitled of the sermon is Repentance Before Restoration. Repentance Before Restoration. Now, that's what you get. As my daughter used to tell me, don't be so dependent upon your notes or whatever. There's no notes outlined I have for the day. Hopefully I stay faithful to that. I remember it of them. But the reading scripture would have come from the book of Matthew, the 3rd chapter of Matthew, in the 8th verse, in which it would say, bring forth therefore fruits meet for the repentance. Bring forth fruit meet for repentance. And it has to deal with what we've been talking about in the book of Isaiah. The book of Isaiah, the 10th chapter, and he was coming, bringing in the Assyrian to punish his people, chasten Israel, but it also was going to intimidate Judah at the time. And if you read along there, that Hezekiah says that Hezekiah was like a caged bird in Judah. They had Judah surrounded or whatever and intimidated. But the 11th chapter goes on. That's what we're going into next week, about the root and the branches and a restoration of the remnant, a restoration of the remnant. So there's promises made to Israel, Judah, as really Judah. A lot of Israel did go to Judah or run to Judah at this time or whatever. But the promises made to Judah of a future restoration, a lot of people say it points to messianic prophecy. But we have to take it all. The Old Testament is written for our admonition. So everything that's in it, we're responsible for it. And to put it together, the Spirit is what guides us and leads us in all truth. And it opens up or unveil history, the present, and the future to us. That's why we have to take heed to the things we've learned and study them, and be dependent upon the Spirit to lead and guide us. And you need a born-again experience. He told Nicodemus, you must be born again. I didn't say you have to go to church and become a Christian or whatever, because everybody does that. Everybody is doing that. At one time, they didn't. A lot of ministers or preachers was trying to stay away from the phraseology of being born again or whatever, because it had become a fad. Everybody was talking about being born again or whatever, but didn't actually understand that born again means being born from above. In other words, a spiritual birth. And before that spiritual birth, before that being born again, one of the requisite things was repentance, a turning away from self, a turning away from you. But what that repentance was, it involved God bringing in godly sorrow, you seeing your sin and being able to confess your sin and turn from it. So it required a change of heart, a new heart. And God gives us a new heart and a circumcision. So it's only God can bring about true repentance. Man could only repent. Even Judas repented. It wasn't a repentance to salvation. It was a turning around because he feared the outcome of what he had did. But when he repented himself of what he had did, he went and hung himself. And he didn't do that right. The rope, the stuff that he had hung himself with, burst of sudden, and he fell down the hill and plunged down and bust his guts and things open. So he couldn't even do a proper repentance. We see where Esau repented. Esau repented. We see where Manasseh repented. Saul would repent consistently while fighting David or going after David. He repented several different times, and it kind of reminds me of the repentance that's in the world today. There's no sincerity in their turning away. There's no sincerity in their repentance. It's something people do because it's a Christian word, it's a Christian terminology, but most churches don't preach repentance. It's not spoken of. But once you start talking about repentance and being a Christian, everybody wants to get in on the act. John the Baptist, who was the last of the Old Testament prophets, he came preparing the way for Jesus Christ. He came preaching repentance. And that's why our scripture text comes from this morning, the third chapter of the book of Matthew. I had it in several different versions. I wanted to read to you, and I'll give you those notes as soon as we're back up and running again. But in the King James Version, it reads, "In the days, in those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea, saying, 'Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.' For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, 'The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight.' And the same John had raiment of camel's hair and a leather girdle about his loins, and his meat was the locust and wild honey. Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the regions around about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, 'O generation of vipers, who had warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruit meet for repentance, and think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able to, of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Therefore every tree that bringeth forth not good fruit is hewed down and cast into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance.'" And remember, Apollos was, he only had heard of the preaching of John, and he was going around preaching unto the people, but he hadn't heard of the Spirit, and that's when Priscilla and Aquila realized something was wrong, and they preached to him about the Holy Ghost and received the Holy Ghost, because he said they asked, had he received the Holy Ghost since he had believed? In other words, had he had the new birth since you start believing and having faith in that way? That's what I asked you this morning. Have you received the Holy Ghost? Have you received the Holy Spirit? Have you been born again? And as he did this, it says, "I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized." So here's John coming, preaching repentance. The Pharisees and Sadducees hear that would be equivalent, as I want to kind of illustrate or go along today, would be equivalent to our churches today, our church leaders and our political leaders today, senators and representatives and things. And they also were baptized. In other words, they also joined the church. But John asked them, "Who had warned you to flee from the wrath to come?" In other words, they was getting in on this as a fad. They was getting in on this as insurance, as something to do, and they were feared to people, and it had authority in what John was saying, but there were no conviction. There were no conviction, and it wasn't a turning away. So they were being baptized. They were coming to John, and John realized that, and he called them a brood of vipers. In other words, they were just like their forefathers. They were like their parents. They were coming as a show. That's what the problem has been in this nation for years and years. How many has it been a show with? How many has it been just profession? And John symbolized this, and he said that you were just like your fathers, for you, they garnished and took care of the sepulchres of the prophet And they say, you say you wouldn't have slain the prophets. He said, but you just like your fathers. You know, I've seen so much politics in this nation, and no truth. It's like Isaiah said, truth have been slain in the streets. Truth has been stepped on and choked on and thrown away, cast to the side. Religiously, we've seen truth, hypocritical hypocrisy coming along and joined together with a beast system. They're the Assyrians. They're like the Assyrians. And it's a hypocritical nation. It's a hypocritical people. That's why I don't know if I should have been along with some of the stuff I've been sending you, some of the few results, that Christianity is not a growing religion. Because it's so much hypocrisy in it. If you would see your parents and see your mate and the people around you that belong to church, and there's no evidence of what they're doing. In other words, what the life they live is in direct contradiction to what they're saying. That's why John says, bring forth fruit, meat for repentance. Show me some fruit. Show me the products of that this teaching, that the Spirit, that this new birth, it has some effect upon you. See, because now we're preaching of a restoration of making America great. Making America great once again. And that brings to mind to me, what do you call great? What is great? Is great a materialistic, a mammoth, a capitalistic society having things? I mean, that's what America calls great. It's the great Laodicean church, the lukewarm church. But they have all creature comforts that's necessary. But Christ is outside the church. It's a lukewarm church. He said that you poor, wretched, and naked, and you need eyesight. You need to be able to see. You need to be able to hear. But they said they had no need of anything. And see, I believe that. I believe that's the way the majority of the political and Christian people in this nation today walk. They have no need of anything. I don't even think that they think they need God, because they could make a God in their image and after their likeness. The God of the Bible has to be formed along with what they're doing, because it's a direct contradiction. It's like Paul said, it's another Jesus. It's another Jesus. So the restoration, the restoring of what they're talking about is not the coming of the kingdom of God. It's not the coming of the kingdom of God. Why are we praying and asking for prayer for one another and members this morning? We want to pray for Vittman and a lot of the people that was in the Trump administration who stood up for truth and lost their jobs and everything. Because this is going to happen. When you stand up for what is truth, you will be just like your master. Jesus Christ says they did it to the green tree, they'll do it to the dry tree. If they kill him over the truth, what do you think they could do about to you if you tell the truth or stand up for the truth? But we must do that. And if we read the book of Daniel, we'll see where God gives them that power and authority to punish and to do these things to his holy people. That's why I say he was going to thoroughly purge his floor. When he says he's going to thoroughly purge his floor, look at that. He says, whose pan is his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Now, he's going to baptize us with fire. We're always talking about a fiery judgment. So some of us won't enter into the eternal life, judgmental, the living in the Davidic kingdom. A lot of people may not make it. That doesn't mean that they're not Christians or whatever, but they are martyrs. In other words, they are giving their lives for the cause of Christ. There will be a remnant. There will be a remnant that lives on this earth that won't see death. They'll see the kingdom coming in its fullness. Those are going to be the fighters. Those are going to be the warriors that God's bringing through. That's the remnant that's going to see the restoration. See, when we're talking about a biblical restoration of all things, Israel had never reached that apex. Israel had achieved, God had did all of his promises. He had fulfilled all of his promises, but that's why Jesus Christ had to come along. That's why the new covenant man wasn't able to keep the covenant. Was weak through the flesh. There were no repentance. We would see now that repentance is a great repentance, but repentance is something that you do daily. Repentance is a consistent turning from self. It's a mortification of the body. It's a mortification of the flesh, because as the spirit that born that new birth, I told you that repentance has to precede regeneration in the new birth, because in regeneration, you're learning about yourself. You're seeing just how wicked that you are. You're seeing just how far short you fall of the word of God. So you can only look and hope for the promises of God being fulfilled. That's what gives you joy. That's why your faith has to lie in Christ. That's why the things that we achieve in Christ, and no man, we're not listening at the promises of a man. Man derives us speaking grace, will, and words. So there's a time when as he fights against the church, that fiery judgment, he says when he comes, he hoped that this fire is already kindled. And if you a child of God, if you really in Christ now, you can see that we're in a battle. We're in a battle that'll make you get out of your house this morning in the wheelchair, in the rain, to come and fill up your gun with ammunition. You have to come. You have to hear the word of God.
Amen.
You have to keep, if you're firing, if you're using your ammunition, you will need to keep filling your lamp with oil. You will need to continually being filled with the Spirit of God, and that comes through hearing of the word of God. And he told Ezekiel, I made you a watchman for the house of God. I made you a watchman. Now, what you must have to do, the watchman gets a little preview. The watchman has a little bit more than the regular members, the regular portion. That's why he had made him a watchman. But the watchman must be able to see what's coming and to warn the people. Warn the people to flee the wrath that's to come. Now, within that warning, everybody can hear that warning. But only a few would be chosen. Everybody's able to hear that warning. But at least you've taken this thing off you. He says if you warn them and they don't flee, if you warn them, you've done your job. Now, as a watchman, as I warn the people, you're doing the work of evangelists, you have to warn others. You have to walk to where you could warn those of your own household. If Rahab's household didn't believe what she said and they wasn't present in that household when Joshua and the men returned, they wouldn't have been saved, because he only pledged to save those that was in her household. Just acknowledging that she was a good person or that these things happened, but not being within that house wouldn't have saved them. It's a lot of people acknowledge that the word of God is right, that Christianity is right, that Christ is right. But Christianity is a religion. They formed it as a religion. So as A.N. Rice and a lot of others has done, they have left Christianity, but they hadn't left Christ. As the editor of the Christianity Today, he warned the people that you're hitching your wagon to the wrong one. So as that warning is going to stand up for a lot of others that's going the broad way. They can't say that they didn't know. They're going the broad way, following the promises and the likeness of things that's not of God. They're following the works of the flesh. That's why we will see that nation will rise against nation, household against household. Your enemy will be the foes of your own household. That's where the divisions will take part, because there are a lot of different religions and a lot of belief systems, I told you, in the world. the philosophy of men. That's why it says, work out your own salvation. So if you don't hitch your wagon to the right one, that's your problem. All I can do is tell you and warn you. And by us practicing warning others, as we witness of the gospel, God gives us more ammunition. God stores us more, and he can use us in the future more. But if we're not in the middle of the battle, it may not make a difference if you're taken out of the battle. It may not make a difference if you're taken out of the battle. That's why I said this year we would expand our preaching and teaching or whatever, because in the upcoming battle, and I know this is the basis of the church, it is profound, and I told you this year I wouldn't preach on tithes and offerings as I did in past years. Because I think each and every member of Bible Way Church or whatever are tithers. I think they do give. Now, it's up to you and between you and God whether you actually are tithing or how faithfully are you with tithing and offering. But I think I could expand the preaching to other areas. And one of the focuses this year is going to be repentance, because I truly believe you're safe in that area. And if you're safe in that area, you'll see God's going to multiply your seed sown. And we wouldn't be like, now, part of a weakness, I don't want you to get like, and we do have doubt and these things come in, and don't let that come in to where you think you're alone or whatever. See, that's, I think you can need, with that statement, I need to reinforce a little preaching or teaching, because as long as he's been in the church, he should be like Job. He shouldn't think that that's the problem, that he's alone or whatever. With that kind of thinking, my deacon shouldn't be there. Now, he should be past there. We have to be past there to fight like Vittman. You remember the guy that testified on the Ukraine show? He knew he wasn't alone. Isaiah, see, as far as Elijah was, he went out there thinking he was alone. God had to push Elijah to the side, because you have to know that God's with you. When you go into battle, you have to know that God's with you, that you're not going to preach on that one, that he said he'll never leave me, he'll never forsake me, and all that's going. I know I'm not alone. Now, I might be standing here by myself, but I'll be like Elisha. See, Elisha did twice the miracles Elijah, because what Elisha realized is he told him to show somebody else, because he knew there would be more for him than it is with the other side. See, you should be able to tell somebody, don't look like you're standing by yourself. I ain't standing by myself. That's when I pray, I always say we. Because I know God is right there. The Holy Spirit is right there. I know I'm never by myself. That's why I started taking the other week, like my daddy used to say, don't help me, you help the bear, because God's with me. I'm not going down by myself. He said he'll never leave me or forsake. Now, it's much going on. I was driving along this morning and had problems. And I called and said, I got a problem. But I was just telling y'all to alert y'all that I would be a little bit late. But the problem didn't throw me all out of kelter. Yeah. See, what's coming up on this earth, what's coming up on this nation, it shouldn't throw the church, his true church, out of kelter. See, that's the problem now. We got weak Christians siding with the Antichrist, siding with the Assyrian, because, oh, they must put it into reverse's way. They could do this, all this outward stuff. That's just a lot of dressing. That's outward dressing. Just because they put in the Roe versus Wade, just because they enact Christian laws or whatever, that don't mean that they have changed. Jesus was most suspect of them. That's why he didn't waste his time with the scribes and Pharisees, because people that try to put out an outward show of being religious hadn't had an inner conversion. It hadn't had an inner conversion. That's why I don't even listen to the news that much no more. That's why the rain really slipped up on me this morning. So every once in a while, if I got something going on, but I thought I saw where it shouldn't have rained this morning or whatever. But so far, somebody asked me about the speech or whatever years ago, where it's Rachel Maddow, I say, you wasting your time. You sit around and listen to what this president say. We know that what he says ain't worth the paper it's written on. I'm kind of with the Speaker of the House. It needs to be ripped up right there. It needs to be torn up. It's not worth the paper it stands on. Let's look for the truth, see, because this is a nation that buries the truth and suppresses the truth in unrighteousness. You got to first change your ways. You got to turn. See, if the devil's going to do anything else but waste your time, he'll do that. They told you months or years ago on Saturday Night Live, you know, like I said, I read and see things in past. They say it wasn't nothing going to happen. No matter what you come up on with them, the nation is gone. Why would you think something was going to come of this? If the nation is gone, why do you think you believe the restoration of America? Oh, you believe that more than you believe Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ said the kingdoms of the earth has become the kingdoms of God. So America can't be great and the kingdom of God. That would be two different kingdoms, because you understand? Do you see what I'm saying? Because the truth has been, a war has been waged against the truth here in America. Right? We see that truth being destroyed in the streets. We're seeing respect of femininity is gone. Nobody respects women anymore. Nobody respects each other anymore. So, when he says bring forth fruit meet for repentance, what would be some of those fruits? Because, you know, my trees, a lot of them are dying or whatever, and I'm going to take the axe to that fig tree in the upcoming weeks. And then the plum tree, I'm going to take the axe to it also. Now, you know, once you take the axe to it, what happened? Nothing else could happen. Now, it's going to come up. You could bring it out at the roots. I'm an old guy, you know. I went back to the time we used to have axe. I couldn't use that single blade, that double blade axe as well as my father could. My stepfather was good with that axe. I use a single blade axe pretty good. And the axe will be laid to the root of those trees. Why? They're cumbering the ground. And that's what's going to happen to this nation. Those that are cumbering the ground, they look good. Now, the fig tree has produced in its time and all these over the years, and we shouldn't. But see, I may give it another chance, because that's what he did to the nation. You know, they call themselves repenting after 9-1-1, and they put on an air of change, but it's back to the same old thing, pride and hubris. It's back to the even worse than it was in the beginning, murdering the works of the flesh. What are the works of the flesh, it says? But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. This I say, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusted against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you cannot do the things you would. But if you be led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, immolation, wrath, strife, sedition, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of which I tell you before, as I also told you in time past, they that which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. That's all this nation does. That's what the leader of this nation advocates. That's what the religions of this nation are giving power to. I'm not saying all of the religions are doing these things, but it's giving power to these things. How do you give power to some things? Giving your money, giving your time, your resources, giving your vote to it. In other words, as man destroys the earth, as man mutilizes one another and talk about one another and destroy one another and seek out vengeance. Any man that goes for vengeance, we know that he's not of God. Yeah. Because God says, vengeance is mine, I shall repay. So we see a carnal, hypocritical nation. See, now those that attend things spiritual, not realizing, I'm talking about not just this nation, I'm talking about Canada, Mexico. I'm talking about Russia. I'm talking about Australia. I'm talking about every nation on earth, because the kingdoms have become the kingdoms of Jesus Christ. So worldwide, his people are realizing and seeing the battle is worldwide. God has scattered his people throughout. The restoration comes to all nations because they are of their father Abraham. So it's the Gentile and Jew. There's no more Jew or Gentile. That's what Scripture says. There be no Jew nor Gentile before the Lord. We all one. So, let's see, are we manifesting good fruit here? Because Jesus said, just as John the Baptist says, any tree that don't bring it forth good fruit, the axe is laid to the root of the tree. Verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, and against such there is no law. Where are you seeing these in any of the leaders we have today? In any of the people today, are these fruits being manifest? See, because he that is spiritual judges all things. Now he said some wasn't going to be able to see. He told Isaiah they were not be able to hear nor understand. So are you keeping up what's going on in the secular without getting entangled in the secular? You have to be able to stand on the precipice. You have to be able to stand out and hear and see what's going on. Look at it. You know, my son-in-law is a journalist. He teaches journalism up at LSU. And he's a professor in journalism. And you know, the journalism professor tell them they don't want them to read the whole book. They want them to scan it. In other words, get a synopsis. Go in and look over and get their points out. You hear a lot of people say they read this book, they read that book. In other words, they read the strong points out of it. They didn't detail. But see, what we do, we read and study. We go down and break up because we have to dig up our fallow ground. So we have to diagnose God's word in that way. We have to study. But on the ground, on the peripheral, we can see what's going on in the world. It says we have to know what's going on in peripheral to be able to vote, to be able to do anything. Right? If you're not aware of what's going on in the peripheral, or I don't know if you follow in the elections and different things, Sharon Broome said she was running for re-election or whatever. But on the peripheral, what we see there that's kind of manifested itself, it's like when Michael Jackson ran against Don Cashew and Cassidy. Well, Michael Jackson, some kind of way or another, what he did, I don't make an accusation here or whatever, but he caused Cassidy to win. Now that tree has blossomed so much that one of our problems with the senator we have today from Louisiana, but don't despise the day of small beginnings. But if we'd have had Cashew in there, we'd have had a different result than what we're having now. And he's supposed to, as Michael Jackson, supposed to have been a spiritual person or whatever, but me and my brother Eli were saying at that time that was kind of political suicide what he did there. Coming up for the mayor's race or whatever, we noticed that Tara Wicker and C. Denise Marcel said that they was going to try to run again, run for mayor. But what would that do in a general election? Wouldn't that dilute the vote for Sharon Wesson Broome? And if there's another party, that party may could win with 53% of the votes. So if those are her friends are the ones seeing that she could do it, but they run again, they run in there against her, I don't think Wicker nor Denise qualify to do the job, but I don't even think that they would get that many votes, but they can mess it up for her. See, sometimes your friends and other people could mess it up for you because they see what other people are doing. We have to beware. And when he says the fiery judgment, he's going to send fire and it's already kindled. We have to be aware because that means God's opening the door of access and we're able to access and do different things, but we will be judged for that. the church should realize that we're being judged in all these things. It says now, the ones that he purges some. Now, that's what you're praying about, to be purged. See, purging hurts. I have to go out and prune my tree. You purge, in other words, you prune a tree or whatever so that it could bring forth better fruit. It has stronger limbs or whatever. It'd be more productive. See, that God prunes us. Sometimes when you're chastening or you're pruning, you're doing it in hopes of a better, stronger crop. I think he may need a little bit more pruning to the fact that he'll realize that God is with him. When he gets, he's not to the point of Job yet. See, he thought he was alone, but when he get to Job's point, when he say, though he slay me, yet I will serve him. See, it seems as though he was like Elijah then. He thought he was the only one fighting. He thought he was the only one. Don't let your problems get you to that point. Don't let your problems get you to that point. Repentance is turning and thinking a different way, of change of mind. See, Job wasn't, he said, though he slayed me. In other words, he knew he was on the right side. His friend, see, you open the suggestions then or whatever because you feel alone, and God said it's not good for man to be alone. So now some friends or other people could come along and influence you. They could influence you because you think they're giving you counsel and you think that they're on your side or whatever. Well, his friends, Job's friends, wasn't on his side. Just because some people come to the help you, come around you, that don't mean that they to the rescue, that they helping you. They may be trying to get in your pocket. They may be putting a place for the knife in you. That you have to be aware that, know that God's on your side. And Job's friends actually started accusing him or whatever. So he said, "You ain't no, you're not any company to me. It was better when you wasn't in here." See, it's better sometimes to be alone. That's why God said it's better to go to the house of mourning. See, sometimes now you can think, what got you into that place? Maybe, see, that's what happened with pruning. Maybe God needs to keep doing that till you get to the point to see, well, look, I need to start operating as though they're not around anyhow sometime. I got to stop counting on men. See, that's what happened to that Williams brothers. You know that song when he says he was looking for somebody to lean on? He leaned on his mother, he leaned on his father, to lean on different people. Notice that God was knocking everything out of the way that he was leaning on so that he would lean on Jesus. You need to get all those things, everything else out of the way so you look to Jesus and keep your focus on Jesus. You keep your focus on Jesus. That's who you need to lead. You need Christ and Christ alone. He'll get you through. But it takes repentance. In other words, after living a life of counting on people and doing things, it's hard to get out of doing things your own way. Those ways that seem it right to a man, they would lead to your death and destruction. It's hard to die to self. But you must needs die to self. You must needs turn it all over to the Lord. That's why Paul said he counted all this as loss. And see, you've never heard this leader or nobody else from this administration apologize and say that they're sorry or whatever. And see, that's what General Shelley, the other day he was saying some things or whatever. You know, everybody that had been with him, eventually they turn and they go to fight one another, as his in Galatians says, be careful lest you fight and devour one another. But see, where Kelly can't stand is that one time you was with him, where God proved you at, or what was the problem there? It seems like now you're saying this, but actually, you remember you lied on the floor to Congresswoman? That she said this and said that, and she had, but you were lying for that individual now. Now that you're against that individual, now you're coming up with something. It doesn't look like you're able to stand alone, because no matter how much I'm with you, I can't allow you to make me lie. You know, if somebody influenced you to where you will stand up and lie for, if you lie for your wife, you got a problem. You lie for your children, you got a problem. And see, that's the problem here. some of us can't stand alone. You have to be steadfast, immovable in the faith, regardless of who stands with you, who won't stand for you. God stands for you. You know, Mitt Romney was the only man in the Senate from the Republican side that was strong enough to say, I couldn't live, my conscience couldn't live with God. I would sear my conscience. I have to vote this way. His children have to see that way. Now, we see that the rest of them, they don't care about what the children don't know what's true or not. The children operate after money. That's why God says he wasn't going to take pity on your young men and your women and everything. Don't you think it's a lot of women and children that has to die in this nation? So when he comes, he's going to come for the widows and orphans also. He's going to destroy them too because they just as corrupt. They're reaching for the wrong thing. They hadn't turned either. See, that's what we was talking about in the 10th chapter. Normally those that he is sympathetic toward, he's not going to be sympathetic toward because it's some evil women that voted in this thing. It's some evil women that stood the wrong way. God calls a lot of, look in the book of Ephesians and the book of Galatians where he said, cursed children. Cursed children. To reverse the curse, your children have to see you standing as Mitt Romney did, standing for the truth. No matter how people ostracize me and no matter how everybody tell her, I need to stand for the truth. No. We talking about, when you were talking about standing, Deacon, you felt you were all alone. Romney's been in religion a long time. He's a Mormon. Now, here's a Mormon standing stronger than those Christians, that supposed Christians, Bill Cassidy and John Kennedy from the state of Louisiana. Here's a Mormon that's standing stronger than they are for the truth. So that's why we can't look at what religion you are. Because it's a lot of them swear on a stack of Bibles and tell lies to themselves.
Yeah.
You can't trust that preacher just because he's in a pulpit because Satan ministers have changed into angels of light. They've been transformed into angels of light. So we better be careful. Or do you have determination built in you? This woman, Nancy Pelosi, that said she was praying for him. Now, it's up to him and her when they get to God whether she was praying for him or not. She didn't say what she was praying, but she said she prayed for him. Now, he says he don't believe she's praying. It's bad to call somebody a liar, not able to prove it, and they're doing contrary to that. You understand what I'm saying? Every little thing, see, as Christians, we have to see, we think that this is politics here and religion over there. It's not. You have to give account for every idle word, every way you stand at. Everything you do. You have to give account for it. That's what repentance is a change of mind and a change of way of thinking. I can't see repentance in this nation. I can't see the repentance. No, I know that there are those that are faithful to God and that there is a remnant. But only a remnant. So why should we be surprised as this nation comes apart? Shouldn't you be expecting it to come apart? With the goings on and the things, I couldn't go to...